Take your Bibles, turn to Leviticus chapter 1. Leviticus chapter 1. Leviticus chapter 1. And we're continuing with our series on the life of Moses. And you're going to laugh at me. And then you're going to groan after you laugh. But tonight we're going to cover the whole book of Leviticus. I'm going to do it all in one lesson in 35 minutes. I'm going to shut it down at 8 o'clock whether I'm done or not. But I want to help you tonight. It's a very needed book, but it's one that you can really get bogged down in unnecessarily. So I'm going to kind of give you a preview or an overview, however you would like to word that. And I think I can help you understand the whole book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 1, we're going to read the first 9 verses together, and you follow along. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make an atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest and Aaron's son shall bring the blood, sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Brother June, if we could shut that door. I don't want to mess everybody up out there. And he shall flay the burnt offering, and cut it in pieces, and the sons of Aaron and the priest shall put fire upon the altar, lay wood in order upon the fire, and the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar, but his inwards and his legs shall he wash with water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. Now, tonight, I want to quickly cover the entire book of Leviticus. This is a book about the Levitical priesthood. Now, remember, several weeks ago, been many weeks ago now, I guess, but we talked about there's three parts of the law. You had the Ten Commandments, which are the civil law. Then you had the Levitical law, which is the priesthood. And then you had the moral law, which is how we're to behave. Does that make sense to everyone? Now, the book of Leviticus does not deal with the Ten Commandments. It has nothing to do with civil law. It has everything to do with the Levitical law and the moral law. Okay? Those are the basic things that are covered in the book of Leviticus. Now, I want you to understand this about the book of Leviticus. Everything about the priesthood was pointing to Jesus. It was pointing to what he would be. He was our high priest. He was the Lamb of God. He was the sacrifice. He was all of those things, and he fulfilled all of those things. That's why you had the temple. And you'll hear me intermittently use the word temple and tabernacle together. The only difference between the temple and the tabernacle is the tabernacle was a tent. The temple was made by Solomon after David had designed it to be a permanent place. Same thing. So the temple and the tabernacle are virtually the same thing. One was a temporary dwelling. The other stayed permanent, stationary in one spot. That is the only difference. But Jesus fulfilled everything about the Levitical priesthood and the moral law. He fulfilled it all. Not just the priesthood, but the moral law. Now, that's what Calvary was all about. God wanted all of this followed exactly so that the people could see how great the coming Christ would be. It was very specific things. They were all pictures of salvation. They were pictures of what it took for salvation. So all of these things, you'll hear people say, well, this represents this. It may or may not, but just realize it all pictured salvation. Every burnt sacrifice, every lamb, every turtle dove, every cow, every bullock, every ox, everything that was sacrificed was a picture of the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, which is Jesus Christ. The shedding of the blood was a picture of Christ's blood. The application of it on the altar was a picture of Christ's blood applied. And we'll go on and on and on and on with it later. Now, Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Tell us exactly this, what I just told you. Look at Colossians 2, verse 14. verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of a new moon, or of Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. In other words, all of these things were a shadow of, it was the light shining on Jesus, and they were only getting the shadow of it till Jesus appeared. Amen. They were only getting the what came through as a shadow of Christ until he came. Then he fulfilled it all and there was no more need for it. That's what this is in reference to, is the book of Leviticus and the Levitical laws and the moral laws. Now, morality doesn't change because of culture. Morality does not change. Adultery is still adultery. Doesn't matter what age you live in.
Yes, sir.
Fornication, still fornication. Doesn't matter what age you live in. Murder, still murder, whether it be of babies or whether it be of upright, living, adult human beings. Murder is still murder, doesn't matter what the culture says.
Amen.
So culture does not dictate morality. All right? That's important because you have preachers preaching that these days. All of the sacrifices, the feasts, the moral laws, etc., were pictures of what Jesus would do. They were very graphic because it had not yet happened. I've got to hurry. The Levites were the priestly tribe. There were 12 tribes, and the Levites were the ones that were in charge of all of the priestly duties. They were in charge of the tabernacle. They were in charge of the care of the furniture for the tabernacle, the setting up of the tabernacle, the tearing down of it. They were in charge of making sure that everything was taken care of. They took care of all the sacrifices. They took care of butchering all the animals. They took care of burying all the insides, the unusable parts. They took care of all of the ashes, the wood, the burning, everything that went with the tabernacle. That was the job of the Levites. That was their sum total duty, was taking care of the responsibility of the tabernacle, the temple, however you would like to use that word. Now, the book of Leviticus is to them about the carrying out of all these duties. Now, it is still applicable to us because it shows us what we have come from and go through. Once Jesus came and fulfilled salvation, the temple and the Levitical priesthood was not needed anymore.
That's right.
That's why Jesus started the church and not the temple. And I'm going to come back to that thought at the very end, but just remember this. Who crucified Jesus? Folks from the temple. And I'll show you here in a little while. Now, there are those that believe that all believers make up a universal, invisible church. They call it the true church. That every Christian makes up the body of the church. Can I tell you something? That's a lie, wicked as hell. You're only a member of a church if you're a member of a church. All believers don't make up the universal church. That is a Catholic doctrine. The word Catholic means universal. Okay? When Jesus comes back, it's not the rapture of the church. Church is a called out assembly, and not all of us are called out into one place yet. After we're called out at the rapture, you could call it, we'll all be together in heaven as a church. That would be a true statement. But we're not there yet. The missionaries in Mexico who have folks in church tonight aren't a member of the same church as Grace Baptist Church. There's not one quote-unquote true church. That's why people don't care what church they go to if they're saved. Well, we're all members of the church anyway. No, that is Catholic doctrine.
Amen.
And it goes back to this temple thing. The word temple means general gathering place. Church means called out assembly. Totally different. And it goes, by the way, most of those churches that believe in that use temple type worship. They have the Levitical priesthood that they follow. They have the phylacteries. They have the El Papa and the, Hail Mary full of grace is in Butte, Montana. And up on the mountain, there's a 90-foot statue of Mother Mary that lights up every night overlooking the city of Butte, Montana. I told Brother Dirksen, I said, let's go up there and pull the plug on that thing. He said, you know how many times I've tried that, preacher. He said, they print in the paper every day who paid for lighting up Mother Mary like it's some status symbol. And I thought, Lord, it's time to lob a grenade up there or something, Now, there are those who believe that all believers make up this invisible church. It's based on the church being the same as the temple, and that is not true. It's not accurate biblically, and it's not biblical at all. Now, I'm going to give you about six different things tonight here, so hang on. Let me give you a quick outline, quick overview of the book of Leviticus. Are you ready? First of all, you have the sacrifices and offerings. That's chapters 1 through 7. You have the sacrifices and the offerings, chapters 1 through 7. All of these sacrifices were a picture of Jesus as the Lamb of God. Oh, it'll talk about turtle doves. It'll talk about an ox. It'll talk about this animal, a lamb. It'll talk about a ram. It'll talk about turtle doves. It'll talk about all different types of animals. But every one of those was a picture of Christ as our sacrifice. Talks about offerings. Now, the burnt offerings. That's in Leviticus chapter 1. We read just a little bit about a burnt offering. It's where they would actually bring an offering. They would kill the animal. They would place it on the altar and actually burn it. In redneck terminology, it was barbecue. And by the way, it was used to feed the Levites as well. A lot of these things were used to take care of the Levites as part of it. But the burnt offering was a picture of atonement or salvation. Then you had next the meat or the meal offerings. That's Leviticus chapter 2. It was in reference to Thanksgiving. We're entering the Thanksgiving season. What do we do at Thanksgiving? We're thankful for the harvest. We're thankful for the food. We're thankful for those types of things. And the meal offerings were much the same way. That's similar to what you would do as you sit down and say, Father, bless the food and thank you for it. It was a meal type of offering, and it was brought also as in care for the Levites as well. Then, next, you have the sin offerings. That's Leviticus chapter 4. The sin offerings were, I'll use a real fancy word, reconciliation. It means getting right with God, okay? That's the best way to put it. It's reconciling yourself with God. These were, you did something wrong and you brought this sacrifice to get yourself right with the Lord and say, I'm sacrificing to show that I'm getting myself right. Similar to you walking and kneeling at an altar to get yourself right with God or something like that. Then you had trespass offerings. That's Leviticus chapter 6. Trespass offerings means you did something wrong and there was a price to pay for it. There was an offering that was attached to that that you were supposed to give in order to be restored with everyone or to be cleansed from guilt. Then you had peace offerings. Leviticus chapter 7, and that's fellowship. Now, none of these are needed today because Jesus fulfilled all those. He fulfilled every one of these offerings. And I don't have time. I wished I did, but time is passing very quickly. Hebrews chapter 10, don't take time to turn there. But if you read verses 1 through 14, you'll find out that Jesus fulfills all of these offerings. It says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, not every image of the things can ever with those sacrifices which were offered year by year continually make the comers thereof perfect. These things were never used for salvation. I want you to notice, nowhere in here do you find salvation attached to it. These were not for salvation. I said this every time we do this. The old or the New Testament equivalent to the sacrifices is the New Testament Lord's Supper. Broken body, shed blood. What we do as the Lord's Supper to remember the broken body and the shed blood they did in action with sacrifices because he had not yet come. We now have history recording. We have the complete Word of God to show us that he did come. And now he said, in the church, let's do the Lord's Supper. That is the difference. The Lord's Supper doesn't get anybody saved.
Sorry.
Nor did sacrifices. That's why it says, not by the blood of bulls and of goats and of offerings, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're not saved by these things. These were not for salvation. They were for they were to show what they were trusting in that they got saved. Hebrews 11 says they all got saved by faith. By faith, Adam. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, all the Old Testament folks, they were saved by faith, not by sacrifices. Now, I got to hurry here. The second point of the outline is this. Then you have the high priest. That's Leviticus chapters 8 chapters 8 through 10. And I'm going to just list these things. I'm not going to spend any time at all on this, except at the very last second here. Number one, you have the call of the high priest, Leviticus 8 verses 1 through 5. You have the cleansing of the high priest, 8:6. You have the garments of the high priest, chapters 8 verses 7 through 13. You have the atonement for the high priest, Leviticus 8, 14 through 34. And then you have the sinfulness of the high priest in chapter 10. Now, I say that to say this. The high priest was a human being just like we are. But I do want to show you something. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews. And I'm going to quickly do this. Hebrews chapter 7. Look at verse number 9. Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 9. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there of another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made a necessity, a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. Jesus became our high priest, but he didn't come from the tribe of Levi. He came from the tribe of Judah.
Yes, sir.
Because he knew people would follow or keep trying to follow the Levitical priesthood. But Jesus said, I'm going to change it because I'm a high priest from a different tribe. Now, take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, look at verse number 9. The Bible says, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could make him that did the service perfect as pertaining conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks with diverse washings of carnal ordinances opposed on them until the time of Reformation. Now watch this. Notice it said people were, those things were just carnal things. Those were physical things. But Christ, verse 11, being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes and the heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And I'm going to stop there. In other words, those things were only a picture of what Jesus was going to do. And he fulfilled it as our high priest. And I've got to hurry because there's much more to say. Then, here's point number 3 of the outline tonight. Morality and sanitation laws. morality and sanitation laws. That's Leviticus chapters 11 through 22. If you want to know what morality and sanitation is all about, read chapters 11 through 22. Now, again, none of these things were for salvation. I'll digress to my hunting trip for just a moment. When you're out in the mountains, ladies, there's no washroom there. Brother Dirksen said, "Fellers, the shovel's by the door. If you need to take the shovel for a walk, take a shovel for the walk." He said, "It's just like God's country." He said, "God said don't go anywhere without the paddle to cover things up." By the way, that's out of the book of Leviticus. And he was right. He had no idea. I said, "Preacher, I got to tell you a story. I got to tell you what my next Wednesday night Bible study is about." He started laughing. He said, "You know, preacher, don't preach that anymore." I said, "Well, I'm going to be careful how I do it, but that's what it is." You got to understand there's certain sanitation things that you're supposed to do. Now, none of it was for salvation. It was for being clean, being morally clean, and keeping everybody else clean. That's what it was for. It talks about food in Leviticus chapters 11. There were certain foods that were better for you than other foods. But may I say this, we are not bound under those things either. And I'll show you that. Take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 10. The Jews are not bound to those eating laws either. Now, there are some people, I have preacher friends, who still believe that that's the way you should eat. I'm all for it. But I also know that in Acts chapter 10, God sent down unclean food to a Jew named Peter. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse number 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh into the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour and became very hungry. Say, why is that? Because sixth hour is noon. And at noon, every man's hungry, amen? And would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. He was so hungry, he zoned out, amen? Verse 11, and he saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, and that had been a great sheet, knit in four corners, let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts upon the earth, and of wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." I love that verse. It's going to be my life's verse. Amen. Verse 14. But Peter said, "No, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. I want you to notice something. That voice was God. He said, "Because I've cleansed it, don't you worry about it. It's not common or unclean." Now, some of those things were to keep the Jews a little healthier where they were at that time. And there are some foods that are not as good for you. But I'm still going to eat fried chicken. I'm still going to eat it. Amen. Now, I might not eat it as much as I used to eat it. But I'm still going to eat it. I'm still going to eat pizza. Amen. That's got all the food groups in it. You got vegetables, you got meat, you got proteins, you got carbohydrates. I mean, you got it all in one. You got dairy. It's health food. Amen. I'm still going to drink coffee. Say why? Because it's vegetarian. It comes from a bean. It's got to be healthy. Amen. And I'm for those things. But may I say this? According to the Bible, those... those food laws were done away with at Calvary as well. Now, there are some animals that some folks feel that they shouldn't eat. That's fine. If you don't want to eat it, don't eat it. There are some things that are good for you to eat that I ain't touching. I hate squash. There's not one kind of squash in the world I like. I don't like pumpkin pie. I don't like sweet potatoes. I don't like sweet tater pie. I don't like any kind of squash. I'm consistent. There is not one squash in the world I like. Not one. It could be zucchini. Now, I can eat some zucchini bread and some pumpkin bread. But even that, I'm not real excited about. It's just, it just is me. Now you give me chicken livers and chicken hearts and all that kind of stuff, and man, I'll gobble it up. Fried okra, gobble it down. Thank God for chicken hearts and chicken livers. I love the stuff. Now wait a minute. I say that to say this. There's nothing wrong with it. I know people, oh, you eat that, you're going to die. You're going to die no matter what you eat.
That's right.
You're a sinner, you're going to die.
Yep.
You know, healthy people die too.
Yep.
I hate to disappoint you. there was a guy I heard last week while he was in Montana. He just got done. He was running marathons. He ran, I forget how many marathons, and he fell over dead with a heart attack. He was a marathon runner. Everybody thought his cholesterol was perfect. Everything was perfect. He died of a heart attack. I'm telling you, jogging will kill you. Amen. There are certain things. So Leviticus 11 talks about those food things. Leviticus chapters 12 through 20 talk about sanitation, cleanliness, and morality. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on these, but chapters 12 through 20 talk about sanitation, cleanliness, talks about washing your hands, washing your food, other things that we're not going to go into right now, but very decent moral cleanliness things. Talks about the purity of between the sexes and different things, and we wonder why we have so many diseases of today, because people don't take care of themselves, as God said, morally wise in the scriptures. And then you have the purity of the priests and the offerings, Leviticus 21 and 22. All right, and boy, do I have to hurry. Number four, you have the five major feasts. There were five major feasts in the Jewish year, and that's Leviticus chapters 23 through 24. I'm going to give you dates, and I'm going to give you what they were very quickly. Number one, you had Passover. Leviticus 23, verse number 5, that was on April 14th. Okay, Passover is April 14th. Doesn't matter what the moon is, according to everybody else. Passover is April 14th. Plain and simple. And it was to commemorate the Exodus out of Egypt, the death angel, that type of thing. And I'm just going to leave it at that. Pictures Christ for salvation. Next, you had the Feast of Pentecost. That's June 6th. You want to know when Pentecost took place? June 6th. Acts chapter 2 was on June 6th. I don't know what year, but I know it was on June 6th. I can tell you roughly what year it was, about AD 30-ish. Could have been a year or two either side of that. But it was on June 6th, because the Feast of Pentecost was on June 6th. And it was in reference to the giving of the laws, penta meaning 50, and it was 50 days after April 15th, or April 14th. And if you look at it, that's what it comes out to being. Then you had the Feast of the Trumpets, that's October 10th. And that was in reference to the Sabbaths and the Sabbath years. You also have the Feast of Atonement, which is also October 10th. The Day of Atonement is October 10th, by the way. It's also the anniversary date of the first date my wife and I had. And it was 30 years ago, this last October 10th, and that we had our first date. That's when the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies with the sacrifice for the people once a year, place the blood on the mercy seat in the tabernacle or in the temple. And that was done on October 10th. Then, lastly, had the Feast of Tabernacles, which is Leviticus 23, verses 39 through 44. That was on October 15th. And that was to commemorate the life in the wilderness and the harvest. All right? That's the Feast of the Tabernacles. A lot of it was done in October, obviously, according to what the Scripture says. And then it gives us some general instructions, and I'm going to run through these real quick. You had the sabbatical years, Leviticus chapter 25, verses 2 through 7. That's letting the land rest every seventh year. We would call it crop rotation. Not sure how they all did it, and there's different ideas about this. I don't see everybody storing food for 6 years and not planting anything on the seventh year. Usually what they did was they rotated and they left 1/7 of their field empty every year and did what we do today and move things around and let the land rest. All right? But that's what that was about. Next, the year of Jubilee. That was every 50th year. That's Leviticus 25, verses 8 through 16. That's where the word slave or the word employees. They were let go and allowed to go find other jobs. They were freed every 50th year. It also means everybody's debt was forgiven every 50th year. If you bought a house and you still owed money on it, and it came past the 50th year, that debt was forgiven. Yeah. Yeah, you got to pay on it for 50 years too. But if you signed in year 49 though, and the Jubilee year, you were only making 1 year of payments on it. You'd have to renegotiate for the next 50 years or whatever that you were doing, but it all fell accordingly. It was done in 50-year increments. Then you have just a few other things that are not necessarily super major important, but let me finish with this. The tabernacle became the temple under David and Solomon. David had the burden to do it, but was not allowed to build it, but Solomon built the temple. So David one day looked and said, God, it's not fair. I live in a good house, and your house is a tent. He said, I want to build you a great house. He said, you can't. You're a bloody man, but I'll let your son do it. So Solomon ends up building the temple. Now, Jesus got in the most trouble because of the church. When he started the church, he was putting the temple out of business. Listen to this. And the leadership didn't want to lose their jobs. They didn't want to change. They actually led in the crucifixion of Christ. It was from the temple that they did it. The chief priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Those from the temple were the ones that gave Jesus the most trouble. Now, take your Bible. We're going to look at a few verses and I'm done. But I want you to see what I mean. Look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And I want you to look at verse number 6. Matthew chapter 12, look at verse number 6. But I say unto you that are in this place is one greater than the temple. Wow. He got a little exaggerated. Boy, did he get in trouble. He got in trouble for healing somebody on the Sabbath. And he said, I want you to know something, fellas. He's look at verse 5. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests of the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple.
Yes, sir.
Whew. He said, you guys think you're hot snot on a silver platter, but you're nothing but a cold booger on paper plate. He said, you think you're something. He said, the temple's about to be done away with me. I'm fulfilling everything, and I'm greater than the temple. Now, take your Bible, Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Man, I love this. Just use Jesus' words against him. It's great. Matthew chapter 26. Look at verse number 61. And said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it that which witnesseth against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now we have heard this blasphemy. That's what they took him to Caiaphas for. It was the high priest that did it. He said, look, I'll destroy the temple and build it up in 3 days. Huh. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians, what know you not that your body is the temple of God? Not the building of the church. Your body is the temple of God. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 2. There's other places, but I am out of time. John chapter 2. We have traveled through much scripture tonight. Look at verse number 15. John chapter 2, verse number 15. Give me just about 2 minutes and I'm done. Look at verse 15. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple, the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. The disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of the house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou, seeing thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building. Wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. Amen. Wow. Then at Calvary, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. Now that veil was between the holy place and the Holy of Holies.
Yes.
Remember, everybody could meet in the congregation. Only the priest could go into the holy place, and only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. When that veil was rent from top to bottom, God destroyed it, and that's found in Matthew 27:51, Mark 15:38, Luke 23:45. Jesus did that so that we had direct access to God as priests of God. You don't need the Holy Father. You're a priest yourself.
That's right.
You don't need the high priest because Jesus already took care of it. And he said, look, I'll tear the curtain down. You got direct access to the throne of God. Just come on.
Amen.
That's why it was torn. That's why Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Notice from that point in time on, you don't hear much mention in the Bible about the temple. It's all about the church. You have religion today that's following the temple. The church is not an extension of the temple.
Right.
It's not. The church is not the modern day Old Testament church or Old Testament temple. No, they're two totally different entities because Jesus fulfilled everything. And we're supposed to go out and go soul winning and do the great commission of the church. That's why they're different. All of the Old Testament and the temple and the tabernacle pointed to Christ. Once he knew he was about to fulfill it, he said, let's start this church. He built the church up to about 120 from what we can see. And got crucified, and then it exploded and went into the thousands. And then the church is scattered and went all over the world, and look what we still have 2,000 years later. The church. Not the temple, but the church. The book of Leviticus talks about all of those things. That is a very, very quick summary of what God gave Moses to give to the Jews while in the wilderness, in reference to their religious exercise, so to speak, their churching. Those were all pointing to what Jesus would do. And that's what it's all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. But maybe we need to get ourselves a little bit more serious about the things of God. Maybe we ought to get a little bit more serious about church, being here, when we're supposed to be here, being here every time we're supposed to be here.